TV attribution. Go to C3Metrics.com. How much money will you lose tonight?
It's been called the Harvard of Silicon Valley. Y Combinator is perhaps the most prestigious startup incubator in the world. It's funded more than 700 companies to date, including Dropbox, Airbnb, and Stripe. But behind the startup machine is a couple with their own startup story. How did they build Y Combinator into what it is today? Joining me today on this edition of Studio 1.0, Y Combinator founders and husband and wife, Paul Graham and Jessica Livingston. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
us. Great to have you. So, Paul, it's been, what, like 6 months since you stepped down from the helm?
About that, yeah.
Of Y Combinator. How's it going?
What's it like? It's so great. I wish I had done it 2 years before.
Why?
It was so hard running Y Combinator. I mean, I'm not really an administrator, and YC had gotten kind of big. Suddenly, I was running this big thing, and I was never suited to it.
You said you would get your brain back. Did you get your brain back?
Yeah.
So you're still doing office hours?
I had, this afternoon, I had the best conversation with a founder that I have ever had. I had lunch with Patrick Collison, founder of Stripe. 100% of the conversation was about giant takeover the world ambitious plans, and that is like the best possible office hours.
How involved are you, Jessica?
I'm still very much involved. I'm doing all the same things that I used to do, if not engaged in different things. I miss working with Paul, but I also love working with Sam Altman.
Now, Sam was actually the founder of one of your very first companies,
yeah.
Looped. When you stepped down, there were certainly people out there who said, he's not cut out to be you.
It's a good thing he's not cut out to be me, because I was not cut out to run something as big as Y Combinator is now. He is better than me at this.
Come on, Jessica.
Like, I was good at giving advice to founders.
Is Sam going to be better than PG?
Well, they're going to be different. Sam brings a lot of things to the table that neither of us had, which is just this amazing amount of energy and patience that's needed to broker deals with investors. Y Combinator's doing a lot of different things as a result.
I want to talk a little bit about each of you and where you came from, where you grew up, your parents.
My family came here from England when I was 3 and a half. And we lived in Pittsburgh because my father worked in the nuclear business. When you designed a nuclear reactor, he was the one who would figure out if it was going to explode.
So what kind of kid were you?
I was a bad kid. Half the kids in my neighborhood were forbidden to play with me.
What did you do?
I was just always, always getting in trouble with everybody, just constantly. I was suspended from school, I think, at least once every year from like first grade to 12th grade.
And then at a certain point you got into computers. Did that help?
They really didn't teach people computers in school. It was something you did off on the side.
So when did you start coding?
I think when I was 15. On an IBM 1401 with 12K of magnetic core memory.
And then you went on to Harvard to get your PhD
in computer science.
But you also took art classes on the side.
It was a very disorganized trajectory. I never knew what I was trying to do. And it was always a mess of, like, random accidents.
Jessica, what about you?
Well, I grew up outside of Boston, and I was an angel.
totally the opposite.
I grew up with my father and my grandmother, his mother. Had a very happy childhood, and friends wanted to play with me. I knew I liked to write, but I had no idea what I wanted to be or what I wanted to do.
I know ultimately you ended up at a boutique investment bank. Were you technical? Did you ever learn how to code?
I never learned to code, and I am not technical in the least. Someday, when I retire from Y Combinator, I'm going to learn to code. But I was interested in it.
Now, Paul, before Y Combinator, you started another company. Tell me about ViaWeb. The idea at the time was quite revolutionary.
Well, the reason the company was called ViaWeb is that the software worked via the web, right? It was what is now known as a web app. And it was the first one. It was an online store builder. Got bought by Yahoo and eventually became, still is, Yahoo Store.
What was it like working at Yahoo? How long did you last there? The guy who got suspended every year.
I was basically getting suspended from Yahoo, too. I hereby apologize to all the people I have ever worked for. So I, like, barely lasted a year.
And you went on to write. You started writing essays at paulgraham.com.
Yeah.
And that's when you started building your following.
I suppose so. I didn't really think I was building a following.
What were you writing about?
I started just writing about software. Then I gradually realized that no one would come and drag me away if I started writing about other things, too.
At what point did you guys meet?
We met at a party at Paul's house in Cambridge that I almost didn't attend.
So Y Combinator almost didn't exist.
It almost didn't exist.
It's scary how close it was.
Yes.
How did you come up with the idea for Y Combinator?
Well, Jessica was very interested in startups. She was writing a book.
Like that was the first book I read when I moved to Silicon Valley. Your book about founders.
Oh, that's great. I never tire of hearing stories like that. It was really hard to find any information on startups, and I was so fascinated by all the stories that I heard from these guys. And then you gave the talk at Harvard.
Yeah, that became the essay, How to Start a Startup. One of the things I told them was that they should raise money from people who had gotten the money from starting a startup, because then they could get advice. They were all looking at me expectantly, like baby birds looking at their mother wanting to feed them. But then afterwards, I felt sort of bad, because I had always thought I was going to do some angel investing, and I still hadn't gotten around to it, because I didn't know how. I thought, all right, I'll do it. I'll finally start doing some angel investing. It was not supposed to grow into this big thing. This is one of the things we tell founders so often. The best way to start a startup that's really going to take over the world is don't even try to start a startup. Just try and start a project that you think would be cool to work on. And YC was an instance of this.
How did you come up with the name Y Combinator?
The original name was Cambridge Seed.
Ooh.
Yeah, but then we thought, I mean, it's a cool name.
We were in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too tied to one place. The Y Combinator is a trick, the Lambda calculus, which is a formal language for expressing algorithms. It's a math concept, basically.
How did you guys decide to work together on this? Because you weren't married yet, but that's a big decision.
It was scary because we had only been dating for a year.
Studio 1.0 on Bloomberg is brought to you by Adobe Marketing Cloud. Do you know what your marketing is doing? Adobe can help.
Mr. Daniels.
Look at this.
What's this?
Clicks are off the charts.
Yeah.
Yoshi, we're back.
Yes, sir!
I'm Rick Harrison, and this is my pawn shop. And after 25 years in business, there's one thing I've learned. You never know what's going to walk through that door. Like this old-fashioned safety razor. For almost 100 years, the single blade was the best way to shave. Soldiers, presidents, even my pops used one. So why in the heck did the big razor companies start adding more and more blades? So they could charge you more and more money. Trust me, you only need one blade. That's why I use the new MicroTouch One. It's the modern version of this timeless classic. Even professional barbers today still only use one blade to give their clients a perfect shave. Same as my MicroTouch One. One blade gives me one perfectly smooth and comfortable shave every time. And unlike those multi-blade razors that are tough to clean so gunk can build up and make them less effective, the MicroTouch One opens up with a simple twist so you can easily rinse your blade and preserve the closeness of every shave, which means your blades will last longer. And it feels like a precision-crafted machine right in the palm of your hand. With the new MicroTouch One, I save money, and you know I like that. Plus, I get a perfectly smooth shave on my face and my beautiful bald head. Trust me, you are going to love this razor. So why keep shelling out big bucks for multi-blade razors that don't really last, when now you can save money and get the best shave of your life with the MicroTouch One for only $19.99. It comes complete with 12 blades and the deluxe travel case. But as part of this limited TV introduction, you'll get 12 more blades free. That's 24 blades, enough for a full year of smooth shaving. Yes, you get it all. And your satisfaction is guaranteed. So call or go online now.
To order the MicroTouch One, have your credit card ready and call 1-800-334-6153. That's 1-800-334-6153. So don't delay. Call 1-800-334-6153 or order online at onerazor.com. That's onerazor.com. Call or click today.
Only Bloomberg Television has the interviews you want to hear.
One of the fascinating things about Twitter is that once you get it, it becomes indispensable to you.
In my eyes, we're all created equal.
Online, on your tablet, and on your phone. Bloomberg Television, wherever you are.
There are myths about so many of the great companies, startups, founders that are boiled down into legend. And what is the myth of Y Combinator, and what is the reality?
People just do not realize how, like, not interested we were in making money. I'm thinking of all these people saying on forums, oh, it's so self-serving. But honestly, in the beginning, we were not trying to make money.
It was all an experiment to see if these, like, new ideas could work.
A lot of people think of it as Paul Graham's Y Combinator.
Oh, there's a myth. There's a really big myth.
You've called Jessica the secret weapon.
Like, nothing has ever happened at Y Combinator that Jessica did not, like, set her seal of approval on, right? There is, she basically has veto over everything.
And this is the first time that you guys have been interviewed together?
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Well, let's face it, I'm not as interesting as you. I don't make colorful remarks, and I've chosen to be behind the scenes. I'm more comfortable behind the scenes. I like running things.
This is why she is the secret weapon. She is one of these people who has perfect pitch for character. She can talk to somebody and fairly quickly tell whether they're a good person or not.
So tell me about the first class. Eight companies, but you didn't know if anyone was going to... Well, even apply, right?
Right. We had no idea if people were going to apply. And we had, like, a few hundred applications.
The most critical innovation with the YC model is to fund a bunch of startups at once. So it's better for the investor, but also better for the startups because they have colleagues. That is the big thing you're missing in a startup. It's so lonely. And now it's like it has some of the advantages of being part of a company without the disadvantages.
At what point did you decide to take money from investors? Because obviously you had feelings about VC.
No, we had to, frankly. I ran out of money. And it takes, God, I mean, how long does it take? We don't even know yet how long it takes for the big exits, but like 10 years maybe.
You're going into your 19th funding cycle.
Mm-hmm.
What do you consider the most successful YC companies?
It is pretty much the ones with the high valuations. The three with the highest valuations are Airbnb, Dropbox, and Stripe.
Did you know early on that there were going to be hits?
We knew the founders were good.
What was it about Drew Houston and Brian Chesky? What was it about them that was
special? It was different things.
Yeah.
It was different things about the two of them. In Drew's case, he was the guy who could write this software. Dropbox succeeded by solving an almost impossibly hard problem, whereas Airbnb is different. Airbnb is like this mass movement where everyone's staying in other people's houses worldwide.
We were skeptical, though. I just remember thinking, I don't really care what the idea is. These founders are awesome. We're funding them.
Patrick Collison from Stripe, I have known since he was like 14. Back when he was this high school kid in Ireland, he used to email me questions about the Lisp programming language, and I had no idea he was a kid.
Now that these companies are worth multi-billions of dollars, when you look back, if they had had the opportunity, would they have sold?
Almost everyone, if someone came along with a big enough offer at the right moment, would have taken it. We do know with Drew, actually, because in the Y Combinator application early on, we used to ask if someone came along and offered you money for your company right after YC, what's the least you would take? I think Drew answered $1 million. So it's really convenient for everyone involved that no one wanted to buy Dropbox early on.
Now that you've been doing this for so many years, can you identify the future Drew Houstons and Brian Chesky's, the future Dropboxes and Airbnbs earlier, sooner than everybody else?
We might be able to identify them better than other people, but there are limits to how well you can identify them. There's a good deal of luck. If you had to boil it down into one word, what you're looking for, it's authentic. You're looking for people who are real friends, not just people who got together for purposes of this startup. You don't want people who are just in it for the money. Zuck's not in it for the money. He never was. And that was why he turned down the Yahoo acquisition offer. And without having done that, Facebook wouldn't be what it is today.
How has the interview process evolved?
We first started out, was it 40 minutes?
I think it was 40-minute interviews. And now with the 10-minute interviews, we really don't have a pitch.
How can you really know in 10 minutes?
You can't know for sure. Here's an interesting test. After each minute, how likely are you to change your mind? If you had another 10 minutes, you might only change your mind 2% of the time.
What is the average valuation of all the YC companies?
I know what their valuation is. It just crossed $30
billion. What's your stake in the $30
billion? All the money is in the few big hits, right? And so you have to ask, what percentage do you end up with of a few big hits after dilution? And we assume it'll end up being like 3%, something like that. So 3% of 30. See, I've never done this calculation.
$900 million.
But until you asked me that, I had never actually multiplied those numbers together.
An article was written recently that Sequoia has made more money on Y Combinator than Y Combinator has.
Yeah, strictly speaking, I believe more of that $30 billion worth of equity belongs to Sequoia than us.
And your policy is that you don't make follow-on investments, right?
Yeah.
Would you ever consider changing that policy in order to make money off the hits that you picked?
We never say never. But the problem with that, Emily, is that there's a signaling thing.
Right.
And so if we're to do follow-on investments, we're telling other investors who we believe are going to be the best, and that would hurt the founders who are probably great investment opportunities, but we just didn't choose to do a follow-on in.
Does it bother you that Sequoia's made more money than you have?
No.
No.
Who cares?
I'm happy for them. I really like Sequoia.
Y Combinator has gotten so much praise, but also a lot of criticism. Why do you think it's so controversial?
One of the most surprising things I realized as Y Combinator became more successful is that the more famous something becomes, the more people want to attack it.
It's always been a mystery to me, though, because honestly, every night I go to sleep, I think, you know, did we help the founders today? And the answer is almost always yes.
Actually, she goes to bed at night and she says, why is everyone saying all these mean things about us? It's so not true.
You've said that other investors have tried to stab you in the back. Do you think are they jealous?
There have been some things that you just can't believe someone's going to do that to you. I don't know why they... I mean, it's probably boils down to money and power. I don't know.
One thing that people have said to me is that, well, YC has invested in over 700 companies. There's only a handful of hits. Is that a good track record?
You either have a couple hits or no hits. Those are the only two options, right? So, yes.
Are YC companies overvalued?
Maybe all startups are. And so I've heard investors claiming that YC startups at Demo Day are like 2x overvalued. And that is the greatest compliment. That means we can take people into YC, and even if we did nothing else, they would be able to get twice the valuation they would have otherwise.
But is that a good thing if the company's not really worth that?
If it's worth a lot, then it was a bargain anyway, even if it was overpriced.
Now, something else that you've been, and I know this is something that Jessica has thought a lot about, is not admitting enough women. Is that true?
We don't have enough women applying, which is what we're really making an effort now on trying to do. We don't ask on the application what someone's gender is. We're trying to get the word out there that more women should be starting startups. We've hosted a female founders conference that we're going to do again this winter, where we bring, you know, successful female founders and tell their stories to inspire more women.
Some of the words people use are harsh. I mean, they've called Y Combinator a frat house. How many women have you funded?
In the past, it was usually around 4% of the founders in the batches were female, and now it's more like 12%. And obviously, that's not where we ideally want to be, but it's moving in the right direction.
How do we get more women founding, women who are Larry and Sergey?
Examples are what makes everyone want to start startups.
How have you changed the interview process in subtle ways to make sure you are getting the best people, that you're not discriminating, that everyone has an equal shot?
Well, one thing that's changed recently is that we have a female partner in every one of the interview rooms.
Why not completely blind screen everyone?
Then how could you tell if they were telling the truth then?
Then I couldn't observe their interaction.
We'll be right back. Have you tried one of these? This is so good.
Man, I can't believe we haven't done this before. Oh, wow, look at that.
Want a bite?
You're aging. Do the jingle. Do the jingle.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, guys.
Do it again. Do it again.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In my office.
State Farm.
I think we're good.
State Farm agents help you get to a better state.
All Columbus Day weekend at Joseph A. Bank. Buy one, get two free. A huge selection of suits, sport coats, shirts, ties, pants, sweaters, and outerwear. New fall styles. Buy one, get two free. Going on now at Joseph A. Bank.
Gunderman Group.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
Goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups. They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time?
Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 Awesome. Awesome.
I love logistics.
Everything was as easy as creating your website with Wix. Go to Wix.com today. It's free.
I can reach Ally Bank 24/7, but there are no branches.
24/7.
It's just I'm a little reluctant to try new things.
What's wrong with trying new things?
You feel that in your muscles?
I
try a new way to bank, where no branches equals great rates.
You've got two kids. What kind of parents are you?
Paul is the best father I've ever met. I'm going to say that because you wouldn't say that yourself. He spends so much time with them, teaching them things, exposing them to things, things that I've rarely seen a lot of other fathers do.
Thank you.
So I lucked out.
Now, how do you manage being married and being colleagues?
It always worked really well.
It was really easy. We never disagreed on anything.
Really?
I think
one. Have you ever fought about Y Combinator?
I don't think so.
No. No. I don't believe it.
It's really true. It's really true. And the secret is the same secret that's true for co-founders in general, which is you have different responsibilities,
mm-hmm.
right? Each person is in charge of their own thing, and they're experts in that thing.
What is the hottest Y Combinator company that we don't know about yet?
Oh, that's hard.
Boosted Boards.
Why Boosted Boards?
Let's just say they have bigger ambitions than making skateboards.
What is the biggest fire you've had to put out at a startup?
I put out fires at least one a week mm-hmm. of co-founder disputes, mm-hmm. that and fundraising, mm-hmm. interactions with investors and investors maltreating the startups. Mm-hmm. We intervene. But can you think
how
of the
how do you
biggest
intervene?
Fire?
Like, how do you protect a startup from its own investors?
At this point, you don't have to, like, make explicit threats, right? You just sort of say, come on, guys, be nice. But the investors know that behind the come on, guys, be nice is if you don't, we won't send any more startups to you.
And if you don't, all of the Y Combinator founders will know about it.
Like the next day.
The next day.
Biggest regret?
It's a bit grim, but it's very easy for me to say now what my biggest mistake is.
I can answer. I'll do my answer. My biggest regret is I kind of squandered my college education. I didn't learn as many things as I could learn or work as hard as I could have. And I always, you know, compare myself to the founders we fund who are doing so many interesting and ambitious things. And I think I kind of, like, squandered a little bit of my youth.
Paul?
I have to say it very carefully so I can remain in control of myself, but remind your parents to be screened for colon cancer.
I understand my father passed away. There are many things that I would like to tell him.
Yeah.
And do for him.
Colon cancer, man, it's just, if they catch it early, it's so preventable. you know, you got to remind, make him go get screened.
So what is next? I mean, is YC it, or will there be a second act from Paul and Jessica?
I am like fully just as enthusiastic about Y Combinator as I was the day we got started, if not more so. We're doing so many exciting things.
Now it actually seems like a good idea.
How about you, Paul?
I'm going to go back to writing. That's what I was doing before Y Combinator, and that's what I always was hoping to do.
How do you guys want YC to be remembered?
You know, I don't want YC to be remembered. I want it to still exist, right? I want YC to be like this institution that persists for a long time. It could last a lot longer than a product company does, because structurally it's more like a university. It could, in principle, last for hundreds of years.
I want it to be remembered as changing a lot of people's lives, and hopefully making the world a little bit of a better place.
Paul Graham and Jessica Livingston, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for doing this and being our guests on Studio 1.0.
Home or a condo? Then it's time you learn about American Residential Warranty.
Hi, I'm Anthony Sullivan.
And I'm Michelle Edmonds.
And we're here with important information for every homeowner.
Did you know home appliance and major system breakdowns cost homeowners an average of $1,700 per year in repairs and replacements?
American Residential Warranty can help cover those costs with home service plans starting at less than a dollar a day.
For most covered repairs, you simply pay a small service fee, and American Residential Warranty will take care of the rest,
including parts and labor.
American Residential Warranty replaced my dishwasher with a brand new one, and I only paid a small service fee.
I woke up on a Saturday morning, and there was no hot water in the shower. So I called American Residential Warranty. They sent a repairman to fix the problem the same day.
Plan options include coverage for central air, heat, and ductwork,
interior electrical systems and plumbing,
major kitchen appliances,
water heaters,
washers and dryers,
garage door openers,
ceiling fans, and more.
Even pools and spas.
American Residential Warranty gives you security and peace of mind with plans starting at less than $1 per day. And you get a 30-day money-back guarantee on any plan.
Call now or go to getahomeplan.com to learn how you can get 2 free months.
And for a limited time, you can get a home security system valued at $850 free with any plan.
You can call American Residential Warranty 24 hours a day.
Their customer service is incredible. When my air conditioning was broken, they came out and my AC was fixed the same day I called.
You can save money with a home service plan from American Residential Warranty.
Call now. There's no obligation. But hurry, if you wait until you need a home service repair,
it'll be too late.
Call 1-800-274-6654 to find out which home warranty plan is right for you. That's 1-800-274-6654. Call now.
You want to fix this mess?
A mess? I don't think...
What's that?
Snapshot from Progressive. Plug it in and you can save on car insurance based on your good driving.
You sell to me?
No, it's free. Want to try?
I try this if you try. Not this.
Okay. Duh!
If you trade stocks and options online, we'd like to have a word with you. Trade King. We're different from the five biggest online brokers. Trade King lets you trade wisely, just $4.95 per trade. Trade smoothly, with customer service ranked number one by Smart Money. Trade easily, with an award-winning website that's easy to use. Switch today and get $1,000 in free trade commissions. Looking for a new breed of broker? There's a name for people like you. Trade King. Switch today.
Welcome to Money Clip, where we tie together the best stories, interviews, and video in business news. I'm Adam Johnson. Here's today's rundown. You ready? In motors, Elon Musk has got a brand new Tesla. He takes our Betty Lou for a ride, and believe it or not, this thing's got two motors. In Summit, The Discovery Communications CEO tells us why we actually need 200 channels. Meanwhile, Senator John McCain tells us why boots on the ground are essential in Syria. He says there's no other way to fight it. This is what he tells our politics team. In sports, how to win in baseball, we got the former St. Louis Cardinal Dave Eckstein. He shows us the Cardinal way to win a World Series. And then finally, today's wild card, from baggage claim to Matt Miller's closet. I'm serious. He actually takes a shopping for other people's lost stuff. All right. First, we're going to take a look at the top stories right now. Blackstone getting out of the advisory business. The world's largest alternative asset manager is spinning off its investment banking division. It'll be merging it with Paul Tubman's firm, PJT Partners.
It's not selling it. It may ultimately raise some capital, but right now it's going to be distributed to existing Blackstone shareholders, and of course they include the chairman and CEO, Steve Schwarzman, who will become the largest shareholder of the new firm.
Blackstone started as an advisory and buyout firm back in 1985. And General Electric CEO Jeff Immelt tells Bloomberg he's going to keep divesting business lines next year. In an interview with Bloomberg News, Immelt said he would be lying if he said GE were done with divestitures. Immelt is trying to return the diesel locomotive and jet engine maker to its industrial roots. I love the sound of that. GE has agreed to sell its appliances division, and it's in the process of spinning off its consumer lending unit. All right, Darden Restaurants, owner of the venerable Olive Garden, has lost more than a nine-month battle against activist firm Starboard Value. Starboard persuaded investors to replace the company's entire board at its shareholder meeting today.
This is an epic fail by the board and its advisors, Goldman Sachs and Wachtell Lipton. They sold Red Lobster at a time when the shareholders had actually called a vote on the issue. Over 50% of shareholders wanted to vote on whether or not to sell Red Lobster. To then go ahead a few weeks before the meeting and sell that company was just a slap in the face to shareholders.
Starboard has been pushing for changes at Darden since December, when it said the company's plan to separate Red Lobster wasn't what was needed to boost value. And talk about boosting value, Dave & Buster's hits the stock market. The chain of food and game restaurants raised $94 million in its IPO. Shares opened at 17. This is a dollar ahead of the IPO pricing at 16. Dave & Buster's listed on the NASDAQ under the symbol PLAY. Isn't that cute? And those are your top stories for right now. All right, now we got to take a closer look at what everyone is talking about today. It's been a serious, serious roller coaster of a week in the U.S. stock market.
What a down day it was, off 1.5% there on the S&P. Dow Jones Industrial Average falling down almost 280. We're seeing the lowest level for stocks since mid-August. Here we are with the best day of the year on the Dow. Investors just loving what they saw. Here we are at the close of trading, and it is another down day, a reversal, really, of what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, obviously, Trish, feeling the manic activity in the stock market. Five of the last seven trading days have seen swings in the Dow of at least 225 points. Whew, that's a head spinner. The ups and downs, needless to say, have pushed the volatility measured by the Cboe's VIX index to the highest level in 8 months.
This is what the normal market is like. The true normal market has volatility that makes people get scared. And there's that cliche about the wall of worry is a cliche for a good reason. It's true. People keep valuations reasonable if they're worried. And that's where we are right now. That's why I think the bull market is not over.
And that is investor Michael Holland. He has been bullish for a very long time. He's also been right. Now let's hear from someone who is a little more bearish.
I believe that the fundamental reason for weaker stock prices in the last few months has been essentially the recognition by the investment community that global growth is not accelerating, but actually slowing down.
And he's not the only one feeling it. The IMF lowered its global growth forecast for next year. This was on Tuesday, from 4% to 3.8%. Slower economy obviously means less demand for energy, and that means oil prices are down. They are way down. Crude has dropped over 20% since the high back in June. That is what technical strategists call a bear market. Here's a take from oil man Boone Pickens.
I think the world has adjusted to war. Here you are. You've been at this for a long time, and you haven't blown up any oil fields in the Mideast. No. Nothing's happened there. They all, you know, to skirt around the oil field because they're all living off of them is what it is. I think the whole crowd, the good ones, the bad ones, and the moderates, if there is such a thing, that they're all on the same feed chain, and they don't want to blow anything up.
Well, the effect on energy prices, ooh, not pretty. I'm going to tell you more coming up in my Insight and Action segment, and then I'm going to post it. Watch for it at AJ Insight. Go to Twitter. All right, coming up on Money Clip, we're going to head to San Francisco. Oh, yeah, that's a great view. We've got the latest and greatest from Vanity Fair's new establishment summit. All the movers and shakers out there. And then we're going to burn a little rubber. I mean, some serious rubber. We're going behind the wheel of the new Tesla D with Betty Lou and Elon Musk himself.
You guys okay?
You're okay. What did you do?
It's on Florida. It's a combination of radar, camera recognition, and
eliminate your monthly phone bill with Magic Jack. Compare, then make the switch. Don't be fooled by Vonage and Basic Talk deals. Get unlimited local and long-distance calling to the U.S. and Canada for just $35 per year. Click or visit Radio Shack today.
Today's Bloomberg ticker is brought to you by PowerShares QQQ, leading the intelligent ETF revolution.
Do you love to grill but hate the messy cleanup? Me too. I'm Mark Gill here for the Miracle Grill Mat. It takes any grill surface and makes it completely non-stick, and it eliminates cleanup. Here's something you could never do at home. I'm going to do breakfast on my barbecue. I'm even going to add an egg. Look at that. And for a special treat, in just a second, a little bit of shredded cheese. Now, you want non-stick? That's non-stick. And I've still got my grill lines. Now, remember that special treat? Watch the egg right into the cheese, toast, eggs, and cheese on my Miracle Grill Mat. And nothing sticks. Are you kidding me? And I never have to clean my barbecue again. Grilled vegetables are amazing, but trying to do them on an open grate is almost impossible. They all just fall through. You lose half your meal. With the Miracle Grill Mat, I can grill my vegetables right beside my meat, and I never lose that great barbecue flavor. Flare-ups can ruin your meat, but with the Miracle Grill Mat, there's never any flare-up. And burnt-on sauces and marinades make for a cleaning nightmare. But with the Miracle Grill Mat, cleanup is a snap. If you've ever tried to grill fish, you know it just flakes and falls apart. But with the Miracle Grill Mat, you get perfect fish every time. Now get your very own Miracle Grill Mat for the low price of only $19.95. Every grill mat comes with a 5-year guarantee and is reusable thousands of times. Call or click right now, and we'll give you a second mat free. And the shipping is free. But I'm not stopping there. Call or click right now and get the Miracle Baking Mat free. Cookies slide right out of the pan. Brownies never stick, and cakes fall right out. Yep, you get it all. Two Miracle Grill Mats, the Miracle Baking Mat, the 5-year guarantee, and free shipping. All for the low, low price of only $19.95. But you gotta call now.
Call 1-800-899-4886. That's 1-800-899-4886. Or go to buymiraclegrillmat.com.
This fax just got Nick the funding for his startup. This fax just got Kim's clients their dream home. And this fax just won Tom his biggest case ever. That's the power of eFax. It's as easy as email. Simply snap a photo of a document and fax it. Even sign your name. And now try eFax free for 30 days. Go to eFaxTV.com and start your free trial. Fax it online, on time, wherever you are, with eFax.
This is Money Clip on Bloomberg Television, and we are streaming everywhere. We're online, we're on your phone, your tablet. We are also on Apple TV and Amazon Fire TV. I'm Adam Johnson. Well, in motors, the anticipation finally over. Last night, Tesla CEO Elon Musk unveiling his newest Tesla electric car. It's dubbed the D, basically an all-wheel drive version of the Model S.
Right, it's nuts. It's like taking off from a carrier deck. It's just bananas. It's like having your own personal roller coaster that you just use at any time.
Okay, it's nuts, it's bananas, it's your personal roller coaster. Betty didn't want to just take Elon's word for it, so she and our intrepid film crew decided to go for a little ride themselves.
All right, let's try it. Guys, are you ready?
Braced? Are you guys braced?
Okay. All right, here we go.
All right.
All right. Wow. Just see that person step aside. Wow. What did you think when you first experienced this?
Sorry, guys. Yes, okay.
Okay. What did you think?
It's on full auto fire right now.
Oh,
I'm not touching anything. No hands, no feet, nothing.
What technology is in here?
It's a combination of radar, camera with image recognition, and ultrasonic sensors. That's integrated with our maps and real-time traffic. Mm-hmm. And it's really what enables autopilot capabilities, the synthesis of all those four systems.
Okay. So when you were just accelerating back there, right? Like, let's say, and you know, you saw that guy.
It braked by itself, by the way.
Yeah, I saw, and I've seen that a few times. So we saw that person sort of like jump aside, right, when he saw you coming. Mm-hmm. So let's say you were accelerating that quickly, and an object flew in your way. What would happen then if you were on autopilot? Would it immediately brake on its own?
If it detected that there was something that was going to hit the car, mm-hmm. it would do its best to mitigate the impact velocity.
Okay.
So it would brake. Now, it's always possible, I mean, you can envision a scenario where if you're going, you know, 60 miles down the road and something leaps in front of you, there's no...
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay.
Under any circumstances. So it can't do impossible things, but it can massively improve the safety of where someone, let's say the driver doesn't notice that there's a pedestrian about to cross the road or that there's a car that's come to a stop in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in driver distraction situations, it could really be a lifesaver.
Yeah, okay, but what about the other possibility, if in fact the car does actually crash, especially when you're accelerating from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds? That's why Betty asked about the legal implications if the autopilot is somehow involved during an accident.
I think it's important for us to differentiate autonomous driving versus autopilot. Autopilot is what they have in airplanes. For example, we use the same term that they use in airplanes, where there's still an expectation that there'll be a pilot. So if the onus is on the pilot to make sure that the autopilot is doing the right thing, we're not yet at a stage where you can go to sleep and wake up at your destination. If we would have called it autonomous instead of autopilot if that was the case.
Right.
But what we are doing is making it a lot easier and more comfortable to drive the car and incorporating a lot of active safety features so that the car will stay in its lane, will automatically brake, will maintain a distance to other cars, will avoid like highway barriers and other obstacles.
So just how important is the Model D and Tesla to the auto industry? That's actually the question that Eric Schatzker and Stephanie Ruhl put to the managing editor of automotive research company Kelley Blue Book. This was earlier this morning.
Well, it's impressive, but it's kind of anti-intuitive to what Tesla represents in terms of alternative vehicles and being an EV. So, from that perspective, yeah, it's a great piece of bragging rights. But in terms of moving the ball and on a technological standpoint, no, it doesn't really.
So, what is Elon Musk getting wrong here? Does he need to be making a cheaper car that more people can buy so that they can leave gasoline behind and enter the EV world?
Well, that was his goal when he came out. He was going to revolutionize the industry and kind of push the internal combustion engine off the stage with the EV, and he has yet to do that. Now, he's announced the Gigafactory, which is going to produce 500,000 batteries a year. I would like to have seen an announcement where he addressed some of that, where, you know, when that will happen and where he's going to get the production capacity to put those batteries in his cars. Because right now at his plant in Fremont, I don't think he has the capacity to, just with that one facility, to use all those batteries.
Are consumers really buying into this electric car craze? What am I calling it? Phenomenon? I mean, people love
trend.
Elon Musk.
Trend.
Well, at the top end, he's made a legitimate car. It's technologically advanced. It's very expensive. And I think these kinds of features, he's catering to that market. You know, the whole autopilot part of it, those types of things he needs to do to keep pace with Mercedes and Lexus that have self-parking features, sign identification. So that's just to stay in the game that he's already in. So unfortunately, I don't see his lane changer being a game changer for him, though.
The highest end Tesla P85D is going to be available starting in December. Believe it or not, it's got several configurations. They come out in February, and this thing goes for about $120,000. Start saving. All right, the CEO of Discovery Communications tells us international markets are stronger than they are here in the U.S. That's next on Money Clip. And what happens to those lonely suitcases left behind at baggage claim? Matt Miller knows. He's going to show all of us a little bit later on Money Clip. Meanwhile, Johnson Controls has fired a consulting firm after learning that one of its principals had an extramarital affair with the CEO. It's one of the most popular stories on our website. Read it and others. Go to Bloomberg.com/popular.
Frustrating that can be. Well, not anymore. Introducing the Speed Out Damage Screw and Bolt Remover. With the Speed Out, you can easily remove any strip screw in 10 seconds or less. You'll never again be slowed down or frustrated by a strip screw or broken bolt. Phillips heads, flatheads, hex heads, painted overheads. The Speed Out gets them all out in 10 seconds or less. The Speed Out is a must-have for do-it-yourselfers, boat owners, hobbyists, mechanics, carpenters, or anyone else. The Speed Out is quick and easy to use. If you can use a drill, you can use the Speed Out. You simply drill out the damaged area with a patented cutting end. Then you flip the tool around, and the extracting end pulls it right out. It's that simple. It's that easy. Notice that the cutting end makes a perfect cone into the screw. This makes an ideal surface for the extracting end to grab onto. In fact, this patented process works so well, you can even remove 4-inch long stubborn deck screws out of redwood. Even if you break off the entire head of a screw or bolt, you can still extract it right out. No problem. The Speed Out is a must for every toolkit. No more headaches or wasted time. And best yet, the Speed Out is affordable. For a limited time, you can get the entire Speed Out 4-piece kit for just $19.95. Call now, and you'll get 4 different sizes of Speed Out extractors for every situation. Don't wait until the next time you strip a screw or break a bolt. Call right now, because sooner or later, you're going to need a Speed Out. And to make this offer even better, we're going to give you free shipping. You heard right. Free shipping for everyone who calls right now. And as an added bonus, we'll also throw in a lifetime warranty. If it ever breaks, we'll replace it, no problem. Call or log on to the website and get your Speed Out right now. It'll be the best $20 you ever put in your toolbox.
Black Friday and the holidays are right around the corner. More customers means more demands on your time and more threats to your business. So now more than ever, you need ADT for Business to protect your investment and stay on top of everything, even when you're away. And for a limited time, get our best offer ever, free installation. More than protection, ADT Pulse helps you stay more productive. You can be in 2 places at once, keeping an eye on employees and your workplace. And with our new Pulse voice app with secure voice recognition, you say it and your system responds. Arm and disarm, manage lights, deliveries, and more remotely. Also get 24/7 monitoring against burglary and emergencies. Call 800-ADT-7010 now for free installation, because our best offer ends November 10th. It's the perfect time to protect and connect with your business. The perfect way to relieve holiday stress.
For the past 2 days, we have been bringing you the best out of Vanity Fair's new industry summit in San Francisco. Here are some of the highlights.
Yeah, I get energized by disruption, and I actually preach a similar reaction at the company. I think disruption creates opportunity. While most people may look at disruption as a threat, I think it's, again, it's an energizing force, and it's something that we look at to take advantage of.
I think e-commerce is changing. I think if you look at offline still coming to online, offline is still well north of 95% of overall retail sales in America. There's a lot of people that are saying, I ought to open an online store finally. eBay should be a platform for that. There are tons of renovation and innovation to be done within the eBay platform, just making e-commerce retail a better, easier thing to do online.
You know, my goal is that if there's one magazine left on this earth, I plan to make it Vanity Fair. And the fact is, we do something that you rarely get on the internet. We tell great stories, and they're in the hands of great writers, and we team those up with great photographs. And I think there'll always be an appetite for that, whether it's a digital version of that or a printed version. We're ready for anything. You can get it any kind of way.
When you look at the founding of Twitter, it was four friends in the same respect that came together to build this thing, but then they ended up tearing each other apart, and a couple of them became billionaires, a couple of them didn't. And that, to me, was, you know, it made the social network look like a game of Yahtzee.
Well, another one of the thought leaders at the conference, David Zaslav, he's the CEO of Discovery Communications. Our Stephanie Ruhle asked him how he measures success.
We measure it by how big of an audience can we aggregate that love our channels. In the end, people still only watch 6 or 8 channels, even though there's 300 available here. And for us, it's about getting people to love TLC, Discovery, OWN, Animal Planet, ID. It's getting velocity. It's getting people to love our channels and spend time with us. And if we do a good job telling stories that are on brand on each of those channels, then our ratings grow and the number of people that spend time with us grows. In the last 7 years, 7 years ago, we had 14 channels here in the U.S., and we had about 4.5% of viewership on cable. Today, we have close to 12% of viewership. So we do look at how much time are people spending with our channels, because that's the currency.
As you said, you know, there's 300 channels out there, but people are only watching 6 to 8. Does that mean 10 years from now, we're no longer going to have cable offerings offering us 200 channels? Because the truth of the matter is, we only watch a few.
You know, the bundle, it works almost everywhere in the world. And most of the other, we're bigger outside the U.S. than we are here in the U.S. And so some of those markets are less competitive. We're in a lot of countries where there's 40 channels and we have 10. So, of course, you know, the fact that there's 300 channels makes it more competitive.
Why has international been better for you than domestic?
Because the U.S. market is slower, and it's been slow for a while in this sense. Subscribers are relatively flat. If you go to Brazil or you go to Mexico or Russia or India, in the emerging markets, subscribers are growing, viewership on cable is growing, and the economics that advertisers are willing to pay to be on cable is growing. Here in the U.S., viewership is relatively flat, and subscribers are relatively flat. So you really have to fight hard to grow.
When you first heard the headline, Time Warner and Fox, what was your reaction?
I thought that it was interesting. I was surprised. They're two great companies. I guess I was surprised that it didn't go through, because usually when Rupert and James and Chase kind of embark on a path, they usually, you know, they're hard to stop. They're great operators. But Jeff's done a great job with Time Warner, so I think they'll be two great companies separate.
Well, Tony Fadell is the CEO of Nest Labs. Earlier this year, Google paid $3.2 billion for his company. So what's he doing right now?
I'm focused on the business. I'm focused on the team, building the team and building products all together. And so that's what's been great. The other thing I've been also focused on is finding all the gems inside of Google and bringing those in and collaborating with Nest to make it even better.
Like what?
Oh, I can't tell you right now, but you could imagine what could come.
Is there a project you're working on right now that you are so excited about?
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I can't, but
really?
More than one. But no, but the biggest one that's most exciting right now is works with Nest. To have 3,000, 4,000 different companies all trying to build stuff to connect, to me, there's all kinds of things that are going to happen.
The sun can't always be shining on Silicon Valley. What are your biggest challenges?
I think the biggest challenges always are is, number one is, you know, getting people to understand what we're trying to do and not be afraid of it, right? People worry about security and privacy about these kinds of products. And so we have an open discussion about that in dialogue and make sure people understand what we're trying to do and being transparent about those things. I think the other one is always we can never get enough great talent, right? And ultimately, you know, working with all of our developers and having them understand being transparent and also understanding the security needs of these homes.
You mentioned
mention security, many of us are getting more scared about hackers. And if we submit control and we leave it to a device, are we giving up having real security, having our hands on things? What do you say to those concerns?
It's a great question. Well, first is, if we want the convenience, we're going to need to have these things connected if we really want the convenience. But for us, you know, we have teams inside our, and this is another great part of Google, is we have great security teams trying to break the things that we have. We have external consultants trying to break the things. Still, to this day, the best of our knowledge, we haven't had any intrusions by anyone stealing data or anything. So you're always in control, and we want to make sure you stay in control. It's not about us taking over your house.
You can watch more of our coverage at the Vanity Fair Summit. Just go to Bloomberg.com or our award-winning tablet app, BTV Plus. Well, coming up, John McCain weighs in on midterm elections, Islamic State, even baseball. And legendary Cardinals two-time world champion Dave Eckstein on how to win at baseball.
How do you start your day so you make better investment decisions?
You watch Bloomberg Surveillance to find out what the markets are doing.
The story this morning is what's not happening. We have not had the big celebratory rally.
And you talk to smart people.
If we're generating this kind of employment, at some point you will see wages rise.
The drama yesterday.
Both the S&P and the Dow made new highs.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
That's number one.
Bloomberg Surveillance. Weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Television.
Eric Schatzker. Banking's been his beat for years. Stephanie Ruhle worked Wall Street as an insider on some of the biggest trades. Together, they're setting the agenda for your investment day.
You know what? I can't win this one.
Can we just sit on that for a moment?
Telling you the why and what it means for you. Schatzker, Ruhle, Market Makers. Weekdays, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Bank really has no hidden fees on savings accounts.
That's right.
It's just that I'm worried about, you know, hidden things.
Okay, why's that?
No hidden fees from the bank where no branches equals great rates.
Net neutrality. Pay to play or land of the free. Bloomberg Link presents the next Big Thing Summit. Speakers gather in New York to examine innovation at the intersection of media, entertainment, and tech. Sign up today at BloombergLink.com.
You trade stocks and options online. We'd like to have a word with you. Trade King. We're different from the five biggest online brokers. Trade King lets you trade wisely. Just $4.95 per trade. That's up to $5 less per trade than E-Trade and TD Ameritrade, which means more money stays in your pocket. Trade King lets you trade smoothly. With world-class customer service that's been ranked number one by Smart Money, Trade King lets you trade easily with an award-winning website that's easy to use. Trade King lets you trade intelligently with the tools you'll need to make informed decisions. Trade King lets you trade quickly with mobile apps. Fast trade executions at national best bidder offer guaranteed. Start trading now. Switch to Trade King and join over 500,000 other clients who have already made the move. Right now, get $1,000 in free trade commissions. Use promo code FREE1000.